The following is a special presentation of the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Oftentimes in the world of sports, the question is asked, which legendary team or individual athlete was truly best? The New York Yankees, Murderers Row of the 1920s, or the Gehrig, DiMaggio-led teams of the 1930s? Or was it the M&M Boys, Mantle and Maris, in the 1960s? Or the 1998 team with Derek Jeter and Mariano Rivera? Jack or Tiger? Michael or Kobe? The question, while left unanswered, provides us with hours of spirited debate and a never-ending quest for a final conclusion. Who truly was the best? Secretariat?
It's Secretariat moving away. He has it by 2.5. Sham, then on the outside, our native. At the wire, it's going to be Secretariat.
Seattle Slew.
Coming to the wire, Seattle Slew opens it to four lengths. At the finish, it's going to be Seattle Slew, and he's going along easily.
Was it Affirmed or American Pharoah?
It's Affirmed with Stevie Coughlin showing the way by 2.5. Believe it with Ed Napoli's next on the outside. Elidor is third, but it's going to be Affirmed. Affirmed with Steve Coughlin is going to win this 104th running of the Kentucky Derby.
It's American Pharoah in front. Firing line. Dorfman is third. Frosted is fourth. Coming to the finish, American Pharoah and Victor Espinosa have won the Kentucky Derby.
Was Spectacular Bid really the greatest horse to ever look through a bridle? Could Triple Crown winner Citation, Count Fleet, Whirlaway, or War Admiral compete with the greats of the modern era? Today, the debate comes to an end, and the question of the greatest Kentucky Derby winner of all time is finally answered. Welcome to the 2020 Fantasy Derby on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The HRRN Fantasy Derby is presented by Claiborne Farm. Now, let's go trackside and join host Mike Penna.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to a special presentation of Derby Day here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I am Mike Penna, joined by the voice of Keeneland Racecourse, Kurt Becker, and this certainly isn't the traditional Kentucky Derby Day we become accustomed to celebrating on the first Saturday in May. That day, we'll have to wait until the first Saturday in September this year, and our thoughts are certainly with everyone here in the United States and around the world continuing to deal with the COVID-19 pandemic. These are unprecedented times, to say the least, and we hope this one-hour broadcast will provide just a bit of an escape as we celebrate so many of the legendary Derby winners who have captured our hearts and imaginations over the years. And Kurt, this afternoon, we take the opportunity to see what would happen if we were to load 20 of the most storied Kentucky Derby winners into the same starting gate to compete in a mile-and-a-quarter test to determine once and for all who is the greatest of all time. And after a nearly two-week voting process, our listeners here on HRN and several members within the thoroughbred industry have selected what may be the greatest field ever assembled in the history of the sport.
Well, we've got 9 of the 13 career Triple Crown winners in the field. You've got War Admiral from the Depression era. You've got the powerful Calumet Farm with Whirlaway and also Citation. Count Fleet, the hope of Chicago in this race for Mr. and Mrs. John Hertz of rental car fame. The Great Secretariat, Seattle Slew, Affirmed, American Pharoah, Justify. All our Triple Crown winners, all are in the lineup today. Our morning line odds maker, Jude Feld, he installed 3 horses at single-digit odds, all 3 Triple Crown winners of the more modern era from the last 50 years, Secretariat, American Pharoah, and Affirmed. So that tells me that Jude believes those particular horses from more recent memory are likely to take more of the virtual money at the hypothetical betting windows here today.
Yeah, Kurt, it's as like we heard in our opening tease coming on the program here this afternoon, it's the age-old question in sports. How does a team or an individual athlete from one era stack up against those in the modern day?
This has been something that folks have talked about for years, Mike, and I think this is what's going to draw in not only traditional racing fans, but even the casual fan. You think of races during Triple Crown season, they are woven into the fabric of this great country of ours. And I know that folks that don't even follow racing on a regular basis, they are curious to see who ends up being the king of the hill by the end of the day.
You mentioned the great Secretariat, and you mentioned Jude Feld and the morning line that he set earlier this week. The post positions were drawn about a week ago, last Saturday, as a matter of fact. We did that on one of our other programs. And, you know, Secretariat at 5-1 on the morning line in the 20-horse field, it just goes to show you how deep this field really is.
Yeah, it is. And keep in mind, our focus here in the opening segment is on those who have won the Triple Crown, and other members of our broadcast team shortly are going to talk about some of the other winners of the Kentucky Derby that have made the starting gate and did not win the Triple Crown for one reason or another, but those horses are going to draw a lot of respect too.
As you might imagine, a couple of notable jockey changes associated with the field in the Fantasy Derby this year.
There are. The legendary Bill Shoemaker. Keep in mind, he actually rode Spectacular Bid during the bid's final year and back in 1980 at the races. Well, Ronnie Franklin gets back on Spectacular Bid. Of course, Ronnie rode him in the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness. That left the shoe without a mount. So all of us here at the Horse Racing Radio Network, we contacted Art and Alan Sherman with the California Chrome Camp and said, hey, the shoe is available. And they said, absolutely, put him up on California Chrome. So one of the greatest legends of all time in Derby history, Bill Shoemaker, will have a mount today. That means, by the way, that there's also going to be a couple of other things they're going to shuffle around. We mentioned Calumet Farm. They've got two horses in the lineup here today. Well, keep in mind, Eddie Arcaro rode both Whirl Away and Citation. He will stay on Citation. George the Iceman Wolf will ride Whirl Away. And Victor Espinosa had a double call. He goes with American Pharoah since the shoe is taking California Chrome.
Post time 5:50 Eastern for this year's Fantasy Derby. The weather couldn't be more perfect. Temperatures hovering around 75 degrees under crystal clear powder blue skies, and a lightning fast main track awaits the contenders in today's Fantasy Derby. For more, let's go trackside and welcome in the third member of our broadcast team this afternoon, the voice of the University of Kentucky Wildcats, Tom Leach. Tom?
Thanks, Mike. What an incredible field this is. Kentucky Derby winners all. Some were heavily favored, some were massive long shots. I'm going to talk about both ends of that spectrum right now, starting with one of the heavily favored Derby winners, Spectacular Bid. He was the 2-year-old champion, came into the Derby off an easy win in Keeneland's Bluegrass Stakes, and he took the roses in convincing fashion. You could certainly make the case that he should have been a third straight Triple Crown winner in the late 70s. Bid was far and away at the head of his class as a 3-year-old, but for Sunday Silence, he was born in the same year as another outstanding horse in Easy Goer. The temperature was under 50 degrees. There were even a few snowflakes in 1989. The track was muddy when Sunday Silence beat Easy Goer because of those unusual circumstances. Some wrote it off as a bit of a fluke, but Sunday Silence beat him again in the Preakness and in the Breeders' Cup Classic, too. As tough as Easy Goer was then, this is an even bigger challenge today for Sunday Silence. Swale represented a legendary thoroughbred operation in Claiborne Farm. 10 Kentucky Derby winners were born and raised at Claiborne, but Swale was the only one who carried the famous Claiborne Silks into the winner's circle on the first Saturday in May. And we're going to go to the other end of that favorite to long shot spectrum to talk about Mind That Bird. Remember that overhead shot from NBC's blimp camera with Calvin Burrell riding a rocket ship along the muddy rail at Churchill Downs? And Mind That Bird went on to validate his Derby run with strong showings in the Preakness and the Belmont. Just a handful of the great storylines for this Fantasy Derby. Mike, back up to you.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. And certainly no shortage of those storylines associated with this year's star-studded field. Also reporting trackside for us this afternoon is our very own Bobby Newman. And let's check in with him. Bobby?
Thanks, Mike. The lone filly in this field is Winning Colors, and her 1988 Derby win was the last time a filly won the roses. She was coming off a convincing win in the Santa Anita Derby and faced a stellar field that included Private Terms, 49er, Risen Star, and Seeking the Gold, among others. As usual, she broke fast. The big roan filly raced straight out for the early lead, taking the field gate to wire and winning by a neck for Hall of Famers Gary Stevens and Dwayne Lucas. Speaking of Hall of Famers, never has one race brought together so many Hall of Fame trainers and jockeys at one time. Including Lucas, there are 11 Hall of Fame trainers represented. The others enshrined are Bob Baffert, Laz Barrera, Bud Delp, Ben Jones, Jimmy Jones, Lucien Lauren, Horatio Luro, Woody Stevens, Jack Van Berg, and Charlie Whittingham. On the jockeys' side, Gary Stevens is joined by fellow Hall of Famers Eddie Arcaro, Calvin Burrell, Steve Cawthon, Victor Espinoza, Bill Hartack, Charlie Kurtzinger, Johnny Longden, Chris McCarron, Lafitte Pinkai Jr., Jose Santos, Bill Shoemaker, Mike Smith, Ron Turcotte, John Velasquez, and the Iceman himself, George Wolfe. Add it all up and you've got some of the greatest horses, conditioned by some of the greatest trainers, and ridden by some of the greatest jockeys. And Mike, they're all in the same race.
Yeah, pretty special field here. And again, post time 5:50 Eastern time. Still to come, you'll hear from Hall of Famers Ron Turcotte and Bob Baffert. Plus, we'll take our first look at the odds for all of the contenders and go back trackside for the famed walkover. That's all ahead. You're listening to the 2020 Fantasy Derby on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrell. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the HRRN Fantasy Derby, presented by Claiborne Farm.
The Bluegrass came up a rather weak race in comparison to the ability of Northern Dancer. I mean, all he had to do was perform and he was going to win. The only thing I wanted to do with him in that race, in agreement with Horatio Luro, was to see if the horse would rate a bit so he could control his speed and maybe have him finish a little better, which he did that in Bluegrass.
That's Bill Hartack talking about his mount, Northern Dancer, in this afternoon's Fantasy Derby. Northern Dancer, one of several outstanding horses from days gone by that will take on more modern Kentucky Derby winners later today. Kurt, Northern Dancer, as talented as they came when it comes to talking about the Kentucky Derby.
He really was not a very big horse. He was hardly even 15 hands high. He was tiny. But he had a lot of heart, and that really helped make up for his lack of size. The heart was huge, and he always demonstrated that on the track.
Yeah, he did, and of course, the only horse to win both the Queen's Plate and the Kentucky Derby. That's a big deal for the folks north of the border.
It is. I mean, he's carrying, Northern Dancer carries the hopes of Canada today. But Mike, you mentioned some of the older Triple Crown winners. Of course, Northern Dancer did not win the Triple Crown, but if some of the horses from that older generation we talked about, War Admiral from the 1930s, a speedball that we look to come right out of the gate and go for the lead. The Calumet horses, Whirl Away with that big closing kick. Citation from 1948. Eddie Arcaro says he's versatile. I can put him anywhere on the track. I need him today. Up front, coming from off the pace, it won't matter. And then Count Fleet, a horse who kind of blends the two styles. Slow early, gradually builds his speed as the race develops. I think of all of that older generation of horses today from 1964 on back, Citation is the most versatile. I think he's the biggest threat from that particular group of horses.
Well, for more on what's happening on this Fantasy Derby day and for a look at all the odds of all the contenders in the Fantasy Derby today, let's head down to the paddock and welcome in our colleague, Anthony Stabile. Anthony?
Thanks, Mike. The excitement down here is unbelievable in the paddock for the HRRN Fantasy Derby. You see all the horsemen and women walking around, fans 5-6 deep against the rail. They've been lined up for over an hour, and we're about 20 minutes away from the field actually coming in to the paddock. We'll give you a quick odds update right now and introduce the field a little bit. Animal Kingdom, the number one, currently on the board at 37-1. He got that dreaded rail draw. The two, Ali Sheba, taking some money at 9-1. The three, War Admiral, one of nine Triple Crown winners in this field, 53-1 on War Admiral. The number four, Seattle Slough, another Triple Crown winner, 18-1. Slough taking a little bit of money. Mind That Bird, impossible upset in 2009. Well, he's on the board at 99-1. He's even bigger odds than that day. The number six, Spectacular Bid, he's taking some money. He's down to 17-1. The bid has a lot of fans out there. Northern Dancer, the number seven on the board at 38-1. Barbaro, the number eight, 22-1 on Barbaro. Here's the Bob Baffert duo. They're right next door to each other. Our last Triple Crown winner, the number nine, Justify, on the board, 23-1. The number 10, American Pharaoh, he's taking some action here. He's on the board at 5-1. Another Triple Crown winner, Count Fleet, the 11, 57-1. California Chrome, the Chromies are out in force. He's taking some action. The number 12 at 8-1. Swale, post number 13, on the board at 50-1. Sunday Silence, the number 14, 23-1. The lone filly in the field, the number 15, Winning Colors, on the board. She's a big price, but she has a little girl power here. 50-1 on Winning Colors. Big Red, Secretary, at the number 16. He was your 5-1 morning line favorite. He is down to 7-2 on the tote board right now. Another Triple Crown winner. Three, in fact. Whirl Away's the 17. He's a big price at 55-1. Citation, the 18, on the board at 33-1. Affirmed, the number 19. He's on the board at 7-1. And the Gutsy Gelding Funny Side, Salvo Post, number 20, not helping his cause. He's on the board at 47-1. Should be an epic race here, the HRN Fantasy Derby. Mike, back to you.
And we'll hear more from Anthony as we move closer to post time. You heard him talk about Secretariat. Started off at 5-1 on the morning line. He is all the way down to 7-2 as we edge closer to post time. And for more on that story, let's head down to the jocks room now and get a check with Bobby Newman, who is standing by with a special guest.
Thanks, Mike. I'm here with Hall of Fame jockey Ron Turcotte, who rides Secretariat in today's Fantasy Derby. Ron, you have been in this game for a long time after beginning your career with the great Mr. E.P. Taylor's Winfield's Farm in Canada.
Yes, I started with Mr. Taylor with Winfield Farm. That's where I started breaking yearling. That's where I learned to ride, to gallop horses and work horses. And then I moved on. There was five of us. That was about the right size to. I was a little heavier than the rest of them, so I thought they would have a better shot than me with Mr. Taylor. So I went with a smaller outfit, which was Gordon Huntling in there with the Addison Hall Stable. And that's who I started riding for.
That was during the reign of the great racehorse Northern Dancer. Did you ever get to spend time around the champ?
Yes, I rode Northern Dancer. I was a regular rider for Northern Dancer as a two-year-old. But being I was a Canadian, they wanted an American rider to ride him. And that really helped me make up my mind to come to the United States to prove that I was as good as the American riders, that I could compete with them at their level. Northern Dancer was a great horse. I think he was probably second best horse I rode. Him and River Ridge started to separate them. He was a great horse, the greatest Canadian horse of all time, greatest sire of all time. Matter of fact, a couple of years ago, every horse that ran in the Kentucky Derby had the bloodline leading to Northern Dancer.
Back aboard Meadow Stable's Secretariat this afternoon. His dominant run through the Triple Crown started after a somewhat puzzling effort in the wood at Aqueduct. What happened in that race?
The horse had got beat because he had been sick in the Wood Memorial, and he had an abscess and a blood infection.
Ron, thanks a lot. Best of luck to you in today's Fantasy Derby.
Thank you very much.
No hiccups coming into today. It's all systems go for Big Red in the Fantasy Derby. Mike, back to you.
All right, thanks, Bobby. And again, Bobby will rejoin us here in just a little bit. But Kurt, you heard some things there from Ron Turcotte talking about his beginning in the sport, so to speak, at least here in the United States. And look, when you talk about Ron Turcotte, what more can you say? Here's a guy who is just as good as it gets.
He is, and he's one of five racing brothers from Grand Falls, New Brunswick, Canada. His brothers Roger and Rudy and Joy and Eves, they all rode horses as well. And along with Ron, each one of them scored at least 1,000 victories. Just a tremendous racing family. And this is a reunion today for Ron Turcotte and Secretariat. Don't forget, Ron was on suspension because of race riding tactics at the time Secretariat made his final career start back in 1973. Eddie Maple actually rode Secretariat in the Canadian International. So Ron Turcotte is brimming with confidence, and no doubt he is happy to get his chance to be reunited with Big Red today.
Yeah, up next, Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert talks about his two Triple Crown winners in the Fantasy Derby, and we'll take you back trackside for the walkover with all of the connections. This is the 2020 Fantasy Derby on HRRN.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the HRRN Fantasy Derby, presented by Claiborne Farm.
Frosted, his second, with 1/8 of a mile to go. Frosted is all out at the 16th pole. And here it is. The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown. Gronkowski and Hofberg trying to run him down. Vito Rosso is fourth, a 16th to go. Justify is still there. Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect. And now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
Welcome back to the Horse Racing Radio Network, our continuing coverage of the HRRN Fantasy Derby. And that was Larry Colmus with the call of American Pharoah winning the Triple Crown for Hall of Famer Bob Baffert. That was in 2015. He came back in 2018. Won it again would justify. So when they say, what are you going to do for an encore? Well, Bob showed you, and he has both Triple Crown winners set to go to the post at 5:50 Eastern time in today's Fantasy Derby. They'll break side by side, and we'll hear more on that in just a minute. But for more on that dynamic duo set to go to the post, let's head to the backside barn area and rejoin Tom Leach. Tom?
Getting ready for the walkover for the Fantasy Derby. And we're here with Bob Baffert as he's getting ready to saddle Justify and American Pharoah. Bob, let's talk about Justify first. 104 buyer in his debut. How surprised were you, if at all, that he was that good first time out?
One thing about these good horses, they're really good ones. They'll tip you off in the morning. He'd worked extremely well for it. That we were expecting big things from him. You know, we just felt good about it, and I knew he was going to win. We just didn't know how he was going to do it.
At more than 16 hands and 1,300 pounds, I guess, at times, he was kind of an intimidating physical presence. Does that factor into a racehorse's ability to win at all?
Well, the thing about Justify, he's always one of those horses where I've had some really good horses, and I've always said, boy, he was just about a hand taller, he'd really be a great horse. The most beautiful specimen of a racehorse I've ever trained. Just his head, neck, shoulder, muscle on muscle, just big long strides, but fast and very intelligent, very smart horse.
Let's talk about your other Triple Crown winner, American Pharoah. What is it that makes him great?
His mechanics. Matter of fact, of all my horses I've ever trained, American Pharoah, when he breathes in the morning, take your breath away. I mean, unbelievable workout, just effortlessly. And I remember I worked him, his gate work before the Revel. Probably the best gate work I've ever seen on a horse. It was one of those things, and he came back, he didn't even take a deep breath, and I knew right then that this horse is just an unbelievable specimen of a horse. We knew he was a great two-year-old, and then he got hurt. Matter of fact, I've never told a rider, I did tell Mike Smith, but I told Victor Spinoza, if all goes well, please do not win by too much. Try to save something. I said, the more you save, the easier it is for me for the next race. And Victor rode him with such confidence, he would never let him run. The only time he ever let him run was in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Is it unusual for a great horse to be as even tempered as American Pharoah?
He was a little bit temperamental at first. He was a little bit of a head case. He was tough. His first out was a disaster. Went to the paddock. He was just all over the place. Just acted up with a pony. Went to the gate. Acted up to the gate. And ran for about a half mile completely. He just wore himself out. And we came back, and we found out that he was very sensitive to noise, any little noise. So that's when we went with the earplugs on him. And the earplugs just mellowed him out, and the only time he really got upset was in the Kentucky Derby. On the way up there, on the walk, all the owners that walk up with the other horses, it's got to be like 400 or 500 people, but they all wanted to walk up with him. He did work himself up pretty good because of the crowd, and he still won, but he didn't bring his super A game, and I think he lost a little bit on the walk up there.
That is trainer Bob Baffert. It's him, Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons, and Ben Jones on the list of trainers that have saddled two Triple Crown winners. The walkover for the Fantasy Derby is coming up soon. Mike?
Well, when Bob Baffert took a look at the entries in the post position order when it came out last week. He looked at Justify in post 9. He looked at American Pharoah in post 10, and he immediately contacted me to let me know that he hates when his horses draw side by side, but he was just happy he didn't get the rail. And you can recall in Derby lore, Bob Baffert and the rail don't always go hand in hand. Unfortunately, maybe for Bob, they go hand in hand far too often. And Kurt Becker, he has a pair that is really, really tough in this spot here today.
Well, he does. Now, one thing we know about American Pharoah, the horse can be beaten. We saw that in the Travers at Saratoga. But we've never seen that with Justify, who is unbeaten for his career. Now, with that said, I think where American Pharoah has the advantage today, he did race in the Travers. He raced and won the Breeders' Cup Classic. Justify hasn't run since his victory in the Belmont, and to step up and face this caliber today with no prior seasoning against older horses is going to be a big challenge even for a Triple Crown winner.
One thing you heard Bob talk about in that interview was the fact that what set American Pharoah apart was his stride. And you can remember as he went through that entire Triple Crown run, many times he would meet with the media and he would say, look at this horse, just watch him move. And I think poetry in motion would be a term that would certainly apply to a horse like American Pharoah.
I think so, and he's a different horse from Justify in the respect they had different strengths. Justify tended to bounce back out of his races more quickly. He would be up on his toes almost the minute he left the winner's circle. Pharoah needed a day or two of rest, but on race day, so calm, so professional, and handled the surroundings so well.
Kurt, put into perspective what Justify was able to accomplish. The first horse to win the Kentucky Derby since 1882 without racing as a two-year-old, and then goes on and sweeps the Triple Crown and does it in undefeated fashion. How improbable is that?
Well, I remember, and you do too, Mike, when Justify won the Preakness and he won it by a diminishing margin. That was when the naysayers began to pop up. Oh, it's catching up with him. Yeah, you can't run a horse through the Triple Crown Series and expect to win each race with no foundation as a two-year-old. Well, then he just comes right back and wins the Belmont and closes the deal. I remember at Belmont that week, the press asked Bob Baffert, are you convinced this horse is up to the task? Can he handle a mile and a half, or is he exhausted? And Baffert made quite a statement. He said back in the old days, they raced to start between the Preakness and Belmont. He said, I could have done that with Justify if I'd wanted to.
Yeah, pretty powerful words from a guy like Bob Baffert, who is now making the walkover, as are all of the 20 horses set to go to the post in today's Fantasy Derby. We're about 20 minutes away from that post time. In case you're wondering, Justify on the board currently at 17-1, whereas his stablemate, American Pharoah, getting much more respect with the wagering public. He is down to 5-1 as we edge closer to post time. And I mentioned that walkover, one of the great walkovers. It begins at Lucas Gap on the backside. It kind of makes its way around that clubhouse turn, and the horses and their connections make their way over in front of the grandstand and clubhouse area and behind us to the paddock area through a tunnel, which is located out back, and that's where they will be saddled here in just a little bit. But for more on what's happening down below trackside in this walkover, let's rejoin Bobby Newman and Tom Leach, and we'll start with Bobby. Bobby?
Thanks, Mike. Making the walkover with Graham Motion and his 2011 Kentucky Derby winner, Animal Kingdom. Graham, what do you remember about that special day 9 years ago?
I think walking out of the blocks after he crossed the wire was just surreal. I eventually ran into Dale Romans, who he actually led me down to the winner's circle because I had no idea how to get down. I literally ended up hanging on to the back of his sports coat, and he led me down to the winner's circle, which was pretty neat.
Well, he'll definitely know how to get to the winner's circle if Animal Kingdom can win today's Fantasy Derby. Let's go over to Tom.
We're here with Billy Turner, trainer of the legendary Seattle Slough, first horse to win the Triple Crown with a perfect record. Billy, Seattle Slough really was a horse of the people in his Triple Crown campaign, right?
He fed off the crowds, and the more the crowds got around, the more he fed off it and the stronger he got. It was just like one of those weightlifters and all. When you brought him out there and put him in a competitive situation, all of a sudden he was massive.
When Seattle Slough won his Derby in 77, he had to bust through some early traffic to get control. And by the way, Billy Turner says one of the horses in this field really impressed him with the heart that horse showed, and that was Claiborne Farm's Swale, who won the Derby in 84. Bobby, back over to you.
Walking with the man who saddled one of the biggest upsetters in Derby history, trainer Chip Woolley in Mind That Bird. Chip, what was that moment like when he crossed the finish line in front?
Shock. Really? I mean, for just a moment, I remember we were all screaming and celebrating in our box, you know, and then all of a sudden it's like a ton of bricks falling on you. You know, you couldn't believe you'd accomplished something like that, you know.
What was it like to be featured in a movie?
Well, I got to be honest, I never was too caught up in the movie thing. You know, I felt like it took 30 years, greatest horse in history, to get a movie. So I thought ours was a little too quick.
And that greatest horse of all time is one of several Mind That Bird will have to upset again here today. Let's go back over to Tom.
The Great Spectacular Bid nearly became the fourth Triple Crown winner in the 70s. He won his Derby in 79 off an easy prep in the Bluegrass Stakes at Keeneland. The final time for 9 furlongs of the Bluegrass was 1:50. Only two horses had run slower since 1958, and yet trainer Bud Delp, you knew that meant nothing, right?
He wanted an easy race, which he got. You know, there was, he went to the lead on the backside, and he was loafing on the turn. We let him do that, and he didn't run a enormous time, but he came back out of that race so fresh that he was you know, just that much better for the Derby.
It was on this walkover back in 79 that Bud Delp was guaranteeing victory for the bid, telling all the railbirds to bet their money. Bobby, back over to you.
Here with Jimmy Jones, the trainer of Triple Crown winner Citation. Jimmy, what do you remember about coming into the Kentucky Derby with Citation that year?
So I remember when I brought Citation down, all the boys down there were kidding me and said, "What are you coming down here for? If you're coming down to win a Derby, why?" And they said, "Why, you won't see anything but a big brown hiney. That's all you're going to see." And I said, "Well, if he beats this horse, just mind me down, call me imbecile. That's all you're going to do." So, he wasn't any match for Citation.
Nobody was a match for Citation in 1948. We'll see about 2020 in just a little while. Tom?
Here on the walkover with Wayne Lucas, he saddles Winning Colors in this Fantasy Derby. Back in 1988, she became the first filly since 1915 to win the Roses. Wayne, you've been down this road a lot of times. What advice do you give young trainers who come to the Derby for the first time?
When you get on the grounds at Louisville, the first thing you do is you quit buying the form if you're buying it. Don't read the form and absolutely don't read any newspapers until Sunday morning. I think experience is the big thing. I don't think you can ever downplay experience going to the Derby. These young guys come along and they say, "Well, it's another race on Saturday." That's not true.
Thanks, Wayne. Bobby, over to you.
Walking with Hall of Fame trainer Jack Van Berg and Ali Sheba. Jack, he was always a very laid-back horse, even with all the hoopla surrounding a race like the Kentucky Derby.
There's a lot of people there when you're there for the Derby. A lot going on, but that horse, Charlie Whittingham, probably gave him the best compliment because his horse got sick, so he spent the week with me before the Derby. We're going to the track. He said, "That horse has a beautiful nervous system." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You can take a handful of flour and throw it between his hind legs. It'll never stick. He never sweats or nothing."
Ali Sheba is once again handling it all perfectly again today. No flour necessary, guys. He's as cool as a cucumber. Let's head back over to Tom.
Art Sherman, you were the exercise rider for Swaps when he won the Derby in 55. In 2014, you made this walkover and got the Roses with California Chrome.
It's like every trainer. You say, "Wow, I hope I can come up with a runner. Maybe he can win a maiden 30 race," you know what I mean? I don't look beyond what I've got in front of me, you know, but then here comes a special horse. Why it happens, I don't know. You know, I'm just very fortunate, I can tell you that right now.
California Chrome made Art Sherman the oldest trainer ever to win the Roses at age 77. Mike, back up to you.
All right, then, the walkover now being completed. The horses are making their way toward that paddock area. They'll be saddled here shortly. We are just about 14 minutes away from the start of this year's Fantasy Derby here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. When we return, we'll check back in with Anthony in the paddock. Then it's time to meet the field for this year's Fantasy Derby and take you right up to post time. Again, just 14 minutes away. You're listening to the 2020 Fantasy Derby on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hello, this is Steve Cawthon, winner of the Triple Crown 1978 aboard Affirmed, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the HRRN Fantasy Derby, presented by Claiborne Farm.
Lionheart turns for home, and undefeated Smarty Jones comes wide off the turn, and these two hook up at the top of the stretch. Lionheart is all heart, Smarty Jones is all out, and those two deadlocked at the eighth pole, and Smarty Jones is roused to the lead by journeyman jockey Stuart Elliott, and they have taken the lead away from Lionheart. Dame House and Imperialism. And here is the first undefeated winner of the Kentucky Derby since Seattle Slough in 1977. Smarty Jones has done it. Limehouse was second. Imperialism finished third. And Limehouse was fourth.
Who can forget that day back in 2004? Smarty Jones and Tom Durkin with the call of his Kentucky Derby victory. Smarty Jones, surprisingly, not among the 20 horses set to go in the Fantasy Derby later today. Of course, if you remember, we touched on it at the top of the broadcast, that this field was selected by a voting process of our listeners and folks within the thoroughbred industry, and Smarty Jones was the first also eligible. He received enough votes to get himself on the AE list. He was number 21, did not draw into the field. So Smarty on the outside looking in, but the field is stacked for this year's Fantasy Derby. And for more, let's go back to the paddock area and rejoin Anthony Stabile. Anthony?
Thanks, Mike. Hall of Fame jockey Steve Cawthon will be aboard. His Triple Crown winner affirmed. He's walking toward me now. Let me see if I get a quick word. Steve, I know you'll be doing everything you can to win the HRRN Fantasy Derby today, but the one thing you did when Affirmed won his Triple Crown in the Belmont Stakes was go left-handed. You had never done that before, had you?
I had not. I didn't love using my left hand. I mean, I eventually got better at it, you know, but at that stage, I mean, I was still only 18. I learned to do it, but it wasn't my most comfortable move. And it was like, as I was doing it, I was thinking, don't drop this damn thing. Luckily, I didn't.
Affirmed looks absolutely amazing in the paddock here this afternoon. His head's on a swivel. He's really keen. I think he's actually looking for his arch rival, Ali Dar. He's not here today, but there's tons of racing royalty in this paddock. And now I'm standing next to another Hall of Fame rider, jockey Lafitte Pinkai Jr. He'll get a leg up on Swale in just a few minutes. Lafitte, you're no stranger to being in big races like this. Do you still feel the pressure?
Oh, yeah, of course. You feel the pressure of once. I'm telling you, you know, you feel the pressure. You want everything to go right. But you try to keep calm too, you know, and we get used to that. And actually, we like the pressure. It's weird, but it's a feeling that, you know, it's going to be some pressure, but you want to be involved.
Good luck, Lafitte.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hall of Famer Woody Stevens getting ready to cinch the saddle on Swale. Lafitte Pinkai Jr., his rider, sun glistening off the famous orange Claiborne Farm silks. They almost match the color of the sun today. Mike, the excitement down here, it's so thick you could cut it with a knife. Back up to you.
Yeah, edging closer to post time, just about 7 or 8 minutes away. And Swale, you heard Anthony talk about his credentials a little bit and the Hall of Fame connections, and Lafitte Pinkai, certainly a master at his craft. But here's a horse, Kurt, that is not getting a lot of respect necessarily in comparison to some of the others. He's right about 39-1 right now. But Swale, winner of the Kentucky Derby and Belmont Stakes in 1984.
Yeah, Swale is a horse that trainer Woody Stevens and jockey Lafitte Pinkai have always described as the model of professionalism. Nothing got the horse upset or rattled on those big, big race days. And Lafitte Pinkai, tremendous jockey, retired as the winningest of all time. Only one Kentucky Derby victory. Shouldn't say only. It's a big deal to win it once. But Swale was the horse that gave Lafitte that victory.
Yeah, and you heard from Steve Cawthon, the kid, the Hall of Fame jockey who was aboard Affirmed, winner of the 1978 Kentucky Derby. And, of course, the Triple Crown that year. Affirmed 4-1 right now on the tote board. As you hear the call of the post from the bugler, Steve Buttleman, they're making their way onto the track. But Affirmed tenacious in his Triple Crown run.
Well, he was tenacious, but Ali Dar helped improve that tenacity. So, Mike, my question is, with no Ali Dar in the field today, what about facing Secretariat? What about facing Citation? Can Affirmed show that same tenacity against these horses?
Well, Affirmed and Swale and the 20 horses now making their way onto the track. That means it's time for one of the great moments in all of sports. Let's listen in.
Thank you.
a roar from the crowd, and memories of the great American songwriter Stephen Foster on this Fantasy Derby day. If you're just tuning in, the horses are now below us in the post parade. It is a packed house here on Fantasy Derby day. And temperatures hovering in the mid-70s, a fast main track, beautiful crystal clear skies, and the sun glistening off the silks of all 20 contenders. Let's go ahead and meet them now. We begin with number one. That is Animal Kingdom, who is owned by Team Valor, Darley, and Arrowfield Stud, trained by Graham Motion, ridden by Hall of Fame jockey John Velasquez.
Animal Kingdom, former winner of both the Kentucky Derby and the Dubai World Cup.
And he's currently on the board right now at odds of 37-1 from the inside post. Number two is Ali Sheba, owned by Dorothy and Pamela Scarborough, trained by Hall of Famer Jack Van Berg, who gives a leg up to Hall of Famer Chris McCarron.
Ali Sheba won the Derby in 1987 despite stumbling at the head of the stretch.
9-1 is what the tote board reads on Ali Sheba. Number three, that's War Admiral, owned by Glenn Riddle Farm, trained by George Conway, and ridden today by Charlie Kurtzinger.
War Admiral, 1937 Triple Crown winner and son of the great Man of War.
Yeah, being a bit overlooked here, he's on the board at 53-1. Number four, that's Seattle Slough, owned by Karen and Mickey Taylor and Jim and Susan Hill, trained by Billy Turner, ridden by Jean Cruguet.
Seattle Slough, the 1977 Triple Crown Hero and Horse of the Year.
And he's down to 13-1 right now is Seattle Slough. Number five, that's Mind That Bird, owned by Double Eagle Ranch and Bueno Suerte Equine, trained by Benny Chip Woolley. Calvin Burrell is your Hall of Fame jockey.
Mind That Bird, memorable for that 50-1 upset in the Kentucky Derby.
He's longer odds than that today. The tote board shows 99-1 on Mind That Bird. It would be a bit of a shock if he can pull it off. Number six, that's Spectacular Bid, owned by Hawksworth Farm, trained by Buddy Delp, ridden by Ronnie Franklin.
One of the hot horses entering the race, he's won 9 in a row.
Yeah, getting some play too. He's down to 14-1 is Spectacular Bid. Number seven, that's Northern Dancer, owned by Winfield's Farm, trained by Horatio Luro, who gives a leg up to jockey Bill Hartack.
Northern Dancer, 1964, the only Canadian bred to win the Kentucky Derby.
It's a bit of a big price too. Northern Dancer, 38-1. Number eight is Barbaro, racing in the colors of Lyle Stables, trained by Michael Matz, ridden by the Hall of Fame jockey Edgar Prado.
A margin of nearly 7 lengths by Barbaro in winning the Kentucky Derby in 2006.
He's down to 18-1 is Barbaro. Number nine, that's Justify, owned by Windstar Farm, China Horse Club, head of Plains Partners and Starlight Racing. Bob Baffert is the Hall of Fame trainer, Mike Smith, the Hall of Fame jockey.
Justify is unbeaten, but he's the lightest raced horse in the field, only 6 career starts.
And I guess because of that, he is a juicy price, 17-1 right now on Justify. Number 10 is American Pharoah, owned by Zayat Stables, trained by Bob Baffert, ridden by Victor Espinoza.
Triple Crown winner of 2015. We last saw him beating older horses in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Plenty of money coming in on American Pharoah. He's down to 5-1. Number 11, that's Count Fleet, owned by Fanny Hertz, trained by Don Cameron, ridden by the Hall of Fame jockey Johnny Logden.
Count Fleet, known as the Hertz Hurricane, the 1943 Triple Crown winner.
Big price, 57-1 on Count Fleet. Number 12, California Chrome, owned by California Chrome LLC of Perry Martin and TaylorMade Stallions, trained by Art Sherman, ridden today by the Hall of Famer Bill Shoemaker.
California Chrome, a 2-time Horse of the Year and the richest Kentucky Derby winner of all time.
And the tote board reading 8-1 on California Chrome. Number 13 is Swale, owned by Claiborne Farm, trained by Woody Stevens, ridden today by Hall of Fame jockey Lafitte Pinkai Jr.
Swale getting a chance to run against his father, Seattle Slough, in today's race.
He's a big price, 39-1 on Swale. Number 14 is Sunday Silence, racing in the colors of Arthur Hancock, Charlie Whittingham, and Ernest Gaylord, trained by Charlie Whittingham and ridden by Patrick Valenzuela.
Sunday Silence won the Kentucky Derby in 1989 on his way to Horse of the Year.
Yeah, he's 23-1. Number 15, that's the Philly, Winning Colors, racing in the colors of Eugene Klein, trained by Hall of Famer Dwayne Lucas, who gives a leg up to Hall of Fame jockey Gary Stevens.
Only 3 fillies ever won the Kentucky Derby. Winning Colors did it in 1988.
She is 53-1, is winning colors. Number 16, Secretariat, Big Red, owned by Meadows Stable, trained by Lucian Lauren, ridden today by Ron Turcotte.
Secretariat, that 31-length margin of victory in the Belmont Stakes. Some believe the only question today is how far he wins by.
7-2 as your favorite here in the Fantasy Derby is Secretariat. Number 17, World Away, owned by Calumet Farm, trained by Ben Jones, ridden today by the Iceman, George Wolfe.
Whirlaway won the Triple Crown in 1941. Look for Whirlaway to come running in the final stage of the race.
55-1 on Whirlaway. Number 18, Citation, owned by Calumet Farm, trained by Jimmy Jones, ridden by Eddie Arcaro.
Citation won 19 of 20 starts as a three-year-old, including the Triple Crown.
28-1, the tote board reading on number 18, Citation. And number 19 is Affirmed, owned by Harborview Farm, trained by Laz Barrera, ridden by the kid, Steve Cawthon.
Affirmed, another of the hot horses, a seven-race win streak coming into today's race.
Affirmed getting plenty of play in here. He is 4-1 as we edge closer to post time. And number 20, the outside horse is Funny Side, racing in the colors of Sacatoga Stable. He is trained by Barkley Tagg, who gives a leg up to the Hall of Fame jockey, Jose Santos.
When Funnyside won the Kentucky Derby in 2003, he became the first gelding in nearly 75 years to win the race.
He is 47-1 as Funnyside, and that's the field for this year's Fantasy Derby. They are completing the warm-ups and starting to move toward the starting gate, and that's where we find our Bobby Newman. Bobby, what can you tell us?
Behind the extended starting gate, guys, and this stellar field of 20 prepares to load for the Fantasy Derby. Here's Secretariat, the deserving favorite, his red coat shining brightly beneath the matching blue and white checkerboard silks and blinkers. Many bettors think it's his race to win or lose. Affirmed is another chestnut, and he looks focused under Steve Cawthon and the famed pink, black, and white colors of Harborview Farm. American Pharoah may have an advantage over some of these other champions simply because he conquered 17 other three-year-olds in his Derby win, a bigger field than many of these faced. So it's not surprising that he's been very calm as he gets ready to load. Barbaro is another one that's been cool and focused in the warm-up. He and Edgar Prado already conquered a 20-horse field back in 2006, and they did it by an almost unheard-of 6.5 lengths. And here's the beloved chestnut gelding Funny Side. Jockey Jose Santos, adorned in the Sacatoga burgundy and gray diamond silks, the first New York bred to ever win the roses, doesn't seem nervous, although this field presents a much tougher task than what he faced back in 2003. But the one who really catches the eye down here, guys, is Triple Crown champion War Admiral. Charlie Kurtzinger, wearing the famous black and gold colors of Glen Riddle Farm aboard this Dark Bayer Brown. Don't forget, War Admiral not only won the 1937 Triple Crown, but his Derby win was from the dreaded inside post in a full 20-horse field. Guys, they're starting to load. All of them look tremendous. And for me, it's a tough call between War Admiral, Secretariat, and Spectacular Bid, but I'm going with the Bid to win the Fantasy Derby. Mike?
All right, let's see who the rest of our team likes. Let's check in with Tom Leach. Tom?
Back in 1973, I bet Sham against Secretariat. I'm not going to screw this up twice. My pick is Secretariat.
Anthony, how about you?
I'm going with the number 4, 1977 Triple Crown winner, Seattle Sloop.
Kurt, who is it?
The great Calumet Farm and the greatest of all their horses. I'm going with Citation.
All right, for me, it's going to have to be California Chrome. I was a Chromie. I have to stick with my boy, California Chrome. Looks like just a couple horses behind the starting gate now. Let's toss it up to NBC's Larry Colmus for the call of this year's Fantasy Derby.
Thank you, Mike. So the last few runners are now moving into the starting gate here. Justify takes his spot in stall 9. A fellow Triple Crown winner and stablemate, American Pharoah, into the starting gate right next to him. And now Affirmed, a fellow Triple Crown winner, moves into stall 19. That leaves only the gelding Funny Side to complete the line. Here he comes up to the starting gate. They're all in line. We're ready for the start. They're off in the Fantasy Derby. And War Admiral bounds out of the gate immediately to the front. California Chrome has some early foot, and so does American Pharoah, and Justify is right behind them. And it's winning colors, followed by Count Fleet as they race by us for the first time. Citation finds himself in the seventh position early on, 5 lengths off the lead. Then it's Sunday Silence and Barbaro. Secretariat and Seattle slew her right together into the clubhouse turn, and they've got 9 lengths to make up early. Then it's back to Spectacular Bid. Firm is in behind them. And Ali Sheba, followed by Swale. Funny Side is next, and then Northern Dancer, Animal Kingdom, is third last early, ahead of Late Runner's Whirl Away, and Mind That Bird, the trailer threw a flashy half mile. Oh, they're flying. 44.55 was the half mile. And War Admiral heads up the backstretch in front. American Pharaoh's a length behind him, running in second. California Chrome tracks them third. Justify is fourth right now. Secretariat and Seattle Slough are together, and they're moving quickly toward the pacemakers as they enter the far turn. Then it's Spectacular Bid, followed by Affirmed and Citation. So around the far turn they go, and American Pharaoh has taken the lead here. It's American Pharaoh now in front. War Admiral and California Chrome have given way. Justify is in position in behind them. Secretariat and Seattle Slough continue to make good progress. And right behind them are Spectacular Bid and Citation. And they're into the stretch. And it's American Pharaoh to catch. American Pharaoh the leader. Here's Seattle Slough running up alongside. Secretariat's in some traffic. Now he finds a way. And he swings up on the far outside. Spectacular Bid, Citation next. Mind That Bird making a late run up the rail. They're coming down to the last 16th. American Pharaoh digging in for all he has. Seattle Slough's alongside. Here comes Secretariat, a final bid. The three of them down to the wire. Oh, it's so close. I think Secretariat did it. He put his nose down on the wire with Seattle Slough and American Pharaoh in a dramatic fantasy derby.
Well, for those who ever doubted Secretariat was the greatest of all time, he proved it today. And Kurt Becker, with some of that traffic trouble in the stretch, I don't know how he was able to run down Seattle Slough and American Pharaoh.
And this answers a question perhaps that some might have had about Secretariat. We knew he could win by a huge margin. Could he pull one out of the fire in a tough, tight finish like today? Could he overcome adversity? The answer's yes and yes. Incredible. It wasn't a 31-length margin, but maybe even more impressive the way he did it and prevailing by the slimmest of margins by a nose over the great Seattle Slough.
Yeah, and American Pharaoh, what a race he ran. Had the lead coming into the stretch. Seattle Slough put some pressure on him. American Pharaoh dug back in like we're accustomed to seeing. And then Secretariat, as we mentioned, got free after that traffic trouble and able to get the victory in the Fantasy Derby here this afternoon over those two stubborn rivals. And I'll tell you what, Kurt, this was one of those moments that if you're a sports fan, you finally get the answer to the question, who was the best? We know who was the best today.
We do. And no doubt there will be some who hear this outcome today and they will say, look, that just confirms what I always thought about Secretariat. But for anyone who's a racing fan, these are the questions that go back. There were debates. Was it Citation the greatest of all time? And then when Secretariat came along, the people of his generation said, no, it was him. When American Pharaoh came along, the people of the more recent generation said, I think he stacks up pretty well. You know what? Pharaoh stacked up well. Seattle Slough gave a great account. But there was no stopping the power and the physique of the great Secretariat.
Let's go trackside to Tom Leach.
47 years after his first trip to the Derby winner's circle, Secretariat is headed back. The winner's share of the purse was $155,000 for his connections back in 1973. We can only imagine what the purse would have been for a race like this one in the Fantasy Derby. If you ever visited Secretariat at Claiborne Farm in Paris, you know that he was a bit of a ham. Those ears would prick whenever he would hear the click of a camera. Thousands of those clicks today for Big Red as he makes his way back to the winner's circle. And in this Fantasy Derby, what a sight to see Ron Turcotte astride the big chestnut colt being led into the winner's circle by Penny Chenery. If you don't think great horses know they're great, then you never spend any time around Secretariat. I once was interviewing the legendary broadcaster and race caller Kaywood Ledford on the backside. He was reminiscing about Secretariat, and he described him as a tremendous freight train, and at that moment you could hear a train whistle in the background. There always was a little something special and magical around Secretariat. What a sight here at the Fantasy Derby. Mike, back up to you and Kurt.
Yeah, what a sight and what a moment it was here this afternoon. Secretariat gets the victory over a stubborn Seattle Slough and an even more stubborn, if you will, American Pharaoh. It was pretty impressive. And Kurt Becker, you have the rundown of all 20 finishers.
Secretariat comes home the winner. Again, the margin of victory, a nose over Seattle Slough, who was second. American Pharoah may be closer to that hot pace than one might have expected. A tremendous effort to finish a close third. Spectacular Bid was fourth. Citation was fifth. Affirmed was sixth. Sunday Silence seventh. War Admiral, after leading early, came home in eighth. Justify was ninth. Barbaro 10th. Whirl Away, Too Far to Come Today, he was 11th. Count Fleet was 12th. Ali Sheba 13th. California Chrome 14th. Northern Dancer 15th. Funny Side 16th. Winning Colors was 17th. Mind That Bird 18th. Animal Kingdom 19th. And Swale finishing 20th.
All right, that's the complete order of finish. Kurt, that was fun, my friend.
Secretariat, 16.2 hands high, a near 76-inch girth, and a 25-foot stride. He reminded all of us today why he is the greatest of all time.
Today's broadcast of the 2020 Fantasy Derby is intended solely for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any reproduction, retransmission, or other use of this broadcast without the express written consent of the Horse Racing Radio Network is strictly prohibited. That's going to do it for today's broadcast of the Fantasy Derby. Coverage has been brought to you by Claiborne Farm. Special thanks to all of our team for today's race and to Larry Colmes for the call of this afternoon's Fantasy Derby, and of course my beautiful wife Michelle for all her help in putting this broadcast together. Now for Tom Leach, Bobby Newman, Anthony Stabile, and Kurt Becker, I'm Mike Penna. Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to the 2020 Fantasy Derby on the Horse Racing Radio Network.